Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well, gents. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, Matt Ryan goes from Atlanta to Indianapolis. What do you make of that move for the Colts? What do you think Matt Ryan still has left in the tank?
You know, it's interesting. I think the Baker Mayfield stuff with the Colts was always overblown. I think that was more his pursuit than theirs. And I think the thing about Matt Ryan, it was interesting. I was talking to another team that was in the market for a bridge starter, and we talked a little bit about Ryan, and he kind of compared him sort of to what the Colts had done with Phillip Rivers, but he was somebody who just said, look, right situation, another dome team, right scheme and coordinator, probably a guy that's got a couple decent years left as long as the line can protect him. I think he just described Indianapolis, honestly. And, I think that it gives the Colts the runway of at least 1 year, but probably more like two, to search for their next starting quarterback. And, just the other options out there, I think this is probably the most experienced guy who's still got talent. And also, they were just remarkably upset at Carson Wentz. I that's one thing going through the combine and having a chance to talk to some guys. You could tell, like, they really were. Part of what I had heard was a lot of it was the fact that he hadn't gotten vaccinated for COVID, but then also that it was like he was like influencing other guys on the team, you know, their decision whether or not they were going to get vaccinated. As we saw with the in-season Hard Knocks, like Quentin Nelson didn't end up getting, he got COVID, he wasn't vaccinated, and they lost him for a portion of the schedule there. And so I think they just want a pro and someone who's not going to cause any problems in the building and very coachable and all these things. And that's pretty much Matt Ryan. I mean, he's pretty much as vanilla as you can get in terms of like a talented, experienced starter.
Well, you said, this is their bridge quarterback before they, find their new quarterback. Are you sure Chris Ballard isn't just addicted to finding the latest scrap heap guy every year and, trying to hit the lottery with one of them? I mean, it's been an incredible, I'm joking, of course, but, it is it's been a few. Yeah.
I think particularly when it came to the guys that they've had in there, their assessment's been correct. It hasn't been the right fit. It hasn't been the guy who's going to get into the Super Bowl. And they've tried younger guys. They've tried, guys with experience. They tried someone that, Frank Reich had a track record with in terms of Wentz. I just think that they would have loved to have resolved this with like Matt Stafford. It's a team that would have absolutely, gotten their hands on Matt Stafford if they had had the ability to do that. But they didn't, and they've not been in the race for any of these other, major guys changing teams. Russell Wilson didn't want to go to Indianapolis, and, Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to leave Green Bay for Indianapolis. And, Deshaun Watson, they did make a call on Deshaun Watson with someone they were interested in, but the Texans are like, come on, man, we're not trading them inside the division. That's just completely ridiculous. So it's not like they didn't poke around the bigger options to just get it done once and for all. It's just they've been on the outside looking in. And in a way, Matt Ryan kind of fell in their lap because I think for Atlanta, once they decided they were going to go down the road and pursue Deshaun Watson, I think they knew plan B was not going to be Matt Ryan. It was going to be Marcus Mariota if they could ultimately get their hands on him. So this opened up for Ballard. It was relatively cheap in terms of the experience level. And I mean, look at what Washington gave up for Wentz. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think the assets you got, you basically spent half of them to go get Matt Ryan instead of having Carson Wentz. And I think some people think Matt Ryan's the actual upgrade over Wentz at this point.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, what do you make of the Deshaun Watson situation? Signs a 5-year, $230 million contract, fully guaranteed with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. What did you make of that move?
It's going to be a lot of scrutiny. I mean, the owners' meetings are going to be interesting because you're going to hear, I think not only does the organization have to address a lot of the tough questions, general manager Andrew Berry, head coach Kevin Stefanski, Jimmy and Dee Haslam as the owners. But I think Roger Goodell is going to get asked about that contract specifically, and not only everything else surrounding Watson, but the contract not only being fully guaranteed, that's one aspect that definitely sent shockwaves through the league. But then the way it was structured to appear to help him avoid any financial penalty in year one, if a suspension were to come down the pipeline, that upset a lot of other teams. I was talking to another AFC GM, and he was like, they have to avoid this deal, right? He's like, the league has to avoid it because it's set up to avoid a potential penalty from the NFL. He's like, we can't be allowed to do that, right? And I'm like, I don't think there's an answer to that. But there's also a flip side to this too. Everyone assumes that the NFL is going to wrap its investigation in, you know, the next few months, and then everything, if there's a suspension, will happen in 2022. The NFL doesn't have to do that. There's nothing in the CBA that says when an investigation has to be wrapped up. They could wait into 2023. They could wait until halfway through 2022 and say, hey, we're giving you the Calvin Ridley suspension. It's going to be a year. That obviously would impact the $46 million in guaranteed money in 2023. So, you know, there's a lot still riding on this, and there are a lot of difficult questions that are going to be asked. But there's no question the Browns, I mean, they knew this is what we have to do to get this guy. And I think for them, they're sitting there going, you know, if we do 80% of this, if we guarantee 80% of the salary and we still give up the same assets, it's going to be viewed the same way, and we're going to lose. So this was just their all-in push. And clearly they've wanted to resolve the quarterback position in a way that they feel like we don't have to think about this for the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years. And that's what Watson was about.
So where is Baker Mayfield quarterbacking next season? And where is Jimmy G quarterbacking next season? And how has this picture changed for the Niners in terms of the market they expected versus the reality of it?
Well, first off, the Niners, I thought something that was really interesting. I was talking to somebody with the Browns. I had gone on Robert May's podcast with the Ringer, and I had made the mistake of answering the question of, The Athletic. Yes, I apologize. I'm surprised you didn't jump me immediately.
I was going to wait.
My podcast mixed up there. So we all have them now. So I'm constantly trying to remember who's doing what for where. But yes, the Athletic football show. So I was on there, and he had asked me, we were talking about Cleveland, or we were talking about Jimmy G, and I said, you know, the funny thing is, in terms of the right fit, like for an offense, the skill position pieces, the protection, all these different things, the right coach for him is probably Stefanski. All these Cleveland fans are like, he's saying they're the front runner for Jimmy G. This is early on. And so someone from Cleveland called me and was like, hey, I'm hearing on radio that we're now the front running team for Jimmy G. I said, no, that's not what I said. So we kind of got into this conversation about Jimmy, and this person, his estimation was like, he's like, look, you know, we're not going to bring in a player that's worse than Baker. And that's how they assessed Jimmy Garoppolo. So if he's worse than Baker Mayfield, that means, at least in the eyes of this evaluator, pretty good evaluator, by the way, Jimmy G's probably in line behind Baker now. So that pretty dramatically changes his market, because guess what? Baker doesn't have a market. And the trade assets for Jimmy, good luck. I have no clue what you're getting for him now. And there's just no desperation out there. I think Seattle makes a lot of sense for Baker Mayfield. I'm just kind of curious why there isn't maybe more traction than there has been early on with that. And maybe part of it is that, you know, Baker has to understand that that's actually probably a good place for him to go. But I just don't think the assets are going to be this idea of, you know, the Browns getting like a second round pick out of Baker, or the 49ers getting a second round pick out of Jimmy G. That ship has sailed. You know, there's just too many seats that have been filled, and there's going to need to be something that happens that creates a level of desperation for a team out there. And I just don't see it right now. It's things are about as dead as they could be when you consider the compensation that the 49ers were looking at. Supposedly Jimmy G was, oh, we got a second round pick on the table. I'm like, really? I mean, are we sure about that? Because I don't think that was ever really on the table. He would have been moved by now for that.
Charles, how did the Davante Adams situation deteriorate with Green Bay the way that it did? And what do you think of him now with Derek Carr out with the Raiders?
Yeah, you know, what was really interesting about that was so much was focused on Aaron and everything that was going on with Rodgers and the franchise. People sort of forgot to delve a little more deeply into what was going on with Davante Adams and the franchise. And the funny thing was, I think the level of, I don't know, I don't want to say distrust, but sort of some of the things that Rodgers was talking about with the culture and players and, you know, kind of feeling like you're not part of the organization the way it used to be. Adams apparently was feeling that too. And I think that he just sort of got lost in everything that was going on with Rodgers, and it overshadowed a little bit of the fact that he was pissed. He was not happy with the team. And I think what could have changed that is when negotiations sort of opened on the extension, and they had gone very badly last year. If they had come out of the gate with the money that, you know, the Raiders ultimately gave him, which really is honestly, it's a 3-year deal. If you really look at it, it's a 3-year, a little less than $23 million a year. If they had come out of the gate with that, I think Adams probably is there now, but it would have had to have happened a lot earlier. Instead, it kind of festered, it lingered. Everything was going on with Rodgers. I think that just opened the door for Adams to start to think about maybe going and playing with Carr. And what I was told was, you know, like Aaron, he did know before he did his contract extension, he knew Adams was likely going to force a trade, or he wanted to be traded. I think Aaron, though, was optimistic that, hey, this can be repaired. I'm coming back into the fold. We're going to get this worked out. They're going to offer him the money that he needs to be offered, and it'll get all patched up. But at that point, Adams had kind of made up his mind and wanted to move on. And interestingly enough, they were in the market for another veteran wideout, and then also I think potentially drafting another player, and that they're definitely in the market now for another veteran wideout. I would look at them as a potential trade target, honestly, going into the draft. If a team decides to unload a pretty decent veteran receiver, they're going to be the first probably franchise that gets called.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Charles, appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Charles.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Did your brackets get busted? Well, we've got another chance for you to win some great prizes with the 16-team Game Bracket Challenge. Just go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge to play for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May the 4th. The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning. Going to be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up here in just a few minutes at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on a big win last night for the Nashville Predators. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. Interesting stuff, the Baker Mayfield, Jimmy G part of this. Where are they going to end up? What does the value look like for Baker Mayfield and Jimmy G? Now that Matt Ryan is in Indianapolis, Marcus Mariota is in Atlanta, what does the market look like for Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield, especially from like the San Francisco point of view here? You know, it's kind of gotten to the point where the value that you were probably expecting back from Jimmy G, probably not going to approach that if you're the 49ers. I'm interested, like, who at this point is going out and is getting Jimmy Garoppolo to be their starting quarterback?
Right. And I mean, who would have guessed that at this point, or at any point really, in the year 2022, that Marcus Mariota would be a solidified starting quarterback in the NFL and Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield would not be, but that's where we are. Seattle is an obvious, to me, not for Jimmy G, but an obvious possibility, I would think, for Baker, right? The Jimmy G thing is really, like, there's got to be someone who wants him, right?
I mean, you'd think so. Like the Panthers?
The Panthers, right? I mean, the Panthers, the Panthers certainly are better at quarterback if they get Jimmy G.
Yeah.
I mean, and frankly, like, if you're the Panthers, you should know that you probably are in a pretty good position, to not have to give up the kitchen sink to get Jimmy G. Like, who else is out there that is totally unresolved at quarterback?
Well, that's the thing. Like New Orleans, they came to a deal with Jameis Winston yesterday. So Winston's going to be back with the Saints. Mariota to the Falcons. So the NFC South was kind of like that, you know, that's that hot spot for teams looking for quarterbacks. And that's been spoken for at this point outside of the Panthers. So we'll see what happens on that front. But like I'm looking around, like the Panthers make the most sense to me at the moment if it's not going to be the Seahawks. And I can pretty much guarantee you that San Francisco is not trading Jimmy G to the Seahawks.
Right. So Jimmy G to Carolina, Baker to Seattle. I mean, that
maybe they are trading into the Seahawks. And I'd be like, you know what? Why don't you throw a couple of those interceptions to us?
That's true. Like, sure. Yeah. You guys can have Jimmy. Yeah. No, I mean, we hate to. I mean, it's against our better judgment that we would let a division rival have this wonderful quarterback, but we'll do it because we just like you.
Yeah. We'll make an exception in this instance.
Yeah. Normally, we would never do this. Yeah, it's got to be those two spots, right? I mean, Jimmy G is certainly – I mean, he's better than some of the quarterbacks who will be starting this year in the NFL. I mean, look, he's better than Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to say anything negative about Mariota because you pollute this show with enough Mariota hate, you know, but Jimmy G is a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota. And, yeah, to me, like Carolina – you know, the thing about Carolina is, and I know in the NFL anymore, it's like no one wants to be in quote unquote rebuilding and everybody's always trying to quickly get back. Everybody feels like they should be able to at least get back to like fringe playoff contention. And they're mostly right. Like unless you're like the Lions, you know, you should be able to do that pretty quickly. But it's not like Carolina right now is in some desperate situation where, you know, they're not going to be very good. They're just not very good.
Well, I do wonder, though, from this coaching staff, from Matt Rhule, like, is he getting close to the point where he's going to have to start worrying about his job?
Yeah.
And does Jimmy G factor into that? I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, Jimmy G, I mean, compared to what they have now, okay, they're probably looking at another 5-12 team. Yeah, Jimmy G could get them into the 8-9 range, maybe. Yep. Maybe. Good draft, you know. So, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey staying healthy would probably help.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's getting to the point where, like, when do you stop counting on that altogether? Yeah. But, yeah, that would certainly help a lot. So, it's got to be – because there's really no other obvious answer out there than those two teams. And that's not great for the teams trying to trade those guys.
Chase texting in says, are you guys convinced that Pittsburgh is done at quarterback? They do have Mitch Trubisky. I would assume they're going to draft one too. Maybe Kenny Pickett's hand size and the elevation in that area maybe makes it more likely to end up back in Pittsburgh. But I don't know. Like if you're Pittsburgh, I would guess that now that they've signed Trubisky, that they're not going to involve themselves in a Baker Mayfield and or Jimmy G sweepstakes. But maybe they really like one of them. I don't know. I don't know why you'd sign Trubisky at that point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like Mario. Like, okay, I'm pretty convinced that the Falcons aren't going to do something, but Baker or Garoppolo would be a better quarterback than Mariota, right?
Yeah,
it's the same thing with the Steelers. I mean, you've got a guy who I would consider like that's a nice backup to have, and you really wonder about him as a starter. But the fact that you signed him to me tells me you're not going to go get Jimmy G. You know, the Baker's not happening. You know, again, it's like I just rule out the intra division trades for the most part. So it's an interesting thought. And there was some thought with Jimmy G and the Steelers previously, but I think it's probably going to be Trubisky and a draft pick.
What do you think of Matt Ryan going to Indianapolis? We talked to Charles about that in the last segment. Matt Ryan goes from Atlanta to Indy. Obviously, the first change of scenery in his career. He's 36 at this point in his career. And I think if you look at the numbers, and there have been a few people who have done this the last few days, like they have started to go the wrong way. And there are a variety of different reasons for that. His offensive line's not been good. He hasn't had peak Julio Jones the last 2-3 years. Calvin Ridley was out half the year last year. So there's a lot of things that go into it. But what do you make of the Matt Ryan move to Indianapolis? How should Titans fans feel about that?
I think it's a good move for the Colts, given the situation. And I think that they're going to be this puts them in position to compete for the AFC South. I think it's going to be a good race. I also think that of the three, I think it's definitely a better move than it would have been to get Jimmy G. And by the way, the reporting around that is they weren't interested. Yep. But they didn't even look into it. But I think Baker Mayfield gives you a higher ceiling. He also gives you a lower floor, but he gives you a higher ceiling. I think that of those three options, I think he would have been the most dangerous one. I know some people will completely disagree with that. And I know that he was bad last year. He was also playing when I think some quarterbacks would not have tried to play in some of the games he played in. I think Baker Mayfield still could be a very good quarterback in this league in the right situation. He also needs to mature some. Matt Ryan does not need to mature at all. I think there's going to be a big upgrade in. I mean, like Charles was telling us, you know, I mean, it's not only that he wasn't a great leader, he's like disruptive behind the scenes. Like, get out of here. Matt Ryan's not going to be that. I mean, vanilla is probably a good way to describe him. You know, but he's going to be what you want, I think, behind the scenes and in the locker room and everything. And he's still a good player. It's a good move for the Colts.
Henry texting in says, so does Baker Mayfield do commercials for Regressive Insurance now? Not Progressive, Regressive. Nice, Henry. That's good stuff.
Good wordplay, Henry.
Wherever he ends up, I hope that there needs to be a commercial filmed of him like walking out of the Brown Stadium. And we're into wherever the new stadium is. That is, I will say, I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I do enjoy the Baker Mayfield commercials.
I do too. And he's good in the Heisman House commercials. So, yeah. You know, it's not all bad with Baker.
I got a text that says, give me Baker or Jimmy over Tannehill. I'd even take Billy Volek or Ruster Smith over him at this point. That's where we've reached with Titans fans. Billy Volek or Rusty Smith.
Okay, by the way, since we're talking Tannehill, and Gentry just mentioned, you know, Gentry S. said, I see Tannehill trending, and of course I'm going to click on it. And apparently he's trending because of the A.J. Brown tweet. Did you see the A.J. Brown tweet?
A.J. tweets so much that I can't keep up. What'd he say?
So the A.J. Brown tweet is, there's the NFL tweet, says Falcons agree to terms on a 2-year contract, Marcus Mariota. A.J. Brown quote tweets it and said, best leader I've ever been around, with an exclamation point. So, you know, some people are going to run with that on, he's taking a shot at Tannehill.
And it's been deleted since. A.J. Brown's pretty good at deleting tweets, too.
See, so right there, don't delete it, dude. Everybody is already talking. It's already in headlines. Don't delete it. Because when you delete it, to me, it could mean that you actually did mean that, and now you are hoping people forget. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying best we've ever been around. People love Mariota. And A.J. Brown loved him. I saw that firsthand his rookie year. So it's not a shot at Tannehill. I really don't think at all that it was a shot at Tannehill. But now I guess you could look at him deleting it as being like, oh, I didn't think it through and people are taking it the wrong way, so I just want to delete it. But again, it's already become a thing.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. We'll get his thoughts on another big win for the Preds last night, a 5-point performance from Philip Forsberg as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. C-Mace out in California. We're going to try to reach him. May have to reach him at a different time based on the time difference out there as well. So we'll keep you updated on that front. Joe, let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, vanilla Matty ice cream sundaes on the way. Vanilla Matty ice cream sundaes on the way. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon.
Good wordplay, Heidi. It's been a wordplay kind of show today.
It has been.
Is there anybody on the text line, I don't have it up right now, who is freaking out and certain that A.J. Brown was taking a shot at Tannehill?
I haven't seen any.
Okay. AJ does a lot of indirect tweets, though. The other day when Juju, people didn't know where he was going to go and there was some wide receiver movement, he tweeted something like, thank God, or that's a relief.
Dodged a bullet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. And everybody was like, oh, my gosh, that's what it is.
AJ on Twitter can be an adventure sometimes.
Well, that I thought that was what he meant, but I could be wrong. I mean, I could be wrong.
I think it may be.
Like, well, he had I love the gif of the guy like, when contract for
Christian Kirk, yeah,
for Christian Kirk. I mean, that also seemed clear. I think that tweet was purely he loves Mariota and he wanted to praise Mariota, and then you think about it, and people are like, oh, so Tannehill sucks as a leader, huh, AJ? Now the truth comes out, and, you know, you probably should have thought it through before you tweeted that because people are going to take it that way, but I honestly don't think that there's any controversy to it at all.
I mean, he played like 6 games with Marcus.
Well, yes, but I mean, well, again, so we've talked about this. I went back, but I'll tell a little story, a little story time. I went back into the locker room after one of the worst professional football games I've ever seen. After because this was one of those, like, this could be coming apart. Like, this could be falling apart on John Robinson, on Mike Vrabel, on this season. Who knows where it's going? They're 2-4. They were dog cheeks, okay? I'm combining the two things. They were so bad, and it was embarrassing. And it was like – so basically it was like Mariota is done. So after all the pressers, including Mariota, I went back into the locker room, which is still open, and I was the only reporter in there. And A.J. Brown is bawling, and he goes over and, like, hugs Mariota, and he's apologizing to him. And it was like – and then it was – again, it was super emotional, and it was like, oh, my gosh. Again, A.J. Brown's a rookie at this point. So I wrote about that, but I do think about that now. Yeah, it was 6 games, but it was also he comes in as a first-round pick. Here's your quarterback. You go through all the offseason stuff, the summer. So it's still several months together, and people did have that feeling about Mariota. I think that's part of why it was difficult, you know, in terms of divorcing themselves from him, although there was also the conversation about he needs to be more vocal, right? I mean, actually, I think Tannehill, like, is a little bit – I think, like, to Vrabel's liking, I think Vrabel prefers how Tannehill goes about it because he's a little bit more willing to consistently use the voice, whereas Mariota was very quiet but also still, like – I mean, those guys loved Mariota. Don't be confused, you know?
Well, I agree, but that's why I brought that up because, you know, loving a guy and a guy being a good leader, two different things. Like – we've heard DeMarco Murray talk about this. We've heard Eric Decker talk about this, like how he needed to be more vocal and lead better. So I guess that part of it doesn't add up to me.
Well, yes. So, but it's not just like he's such a super nice guy, but he's not a leader. He was a leader. I mean, he was, and there were times when he absolutely used his voice. Actually, one time he's screaming F-bombs before they get smoked by the Ravens. So maybe that was like, okay, I'm going to be quiet again now after this. So he had moments where he – like used to talk about, like, in the weight room, he was like a beast and, like, getting after it and every, you know. So – but, yeah, like on a consistent basis, those – you're right. Those guys brought it up. maybe there's more times where he needs to take command vocally. So it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't just like super nice guy and non-leadership. It was just a little bit more, or maybe a little bit less, I guess, I don't know, traditional compared to Tannehill. I think Tannehill's really good in that way. But it's also both of them, the one thing they share is, like, if you don't play well, at some point it doesn't matter what you
right.
do. You know, you got to back up whatever you do as a leader with your play.
I'm sure Brian Hoyer has great leadership qualities as well. And then he throws the football. You're like, oh, okay.
And now you're going to take a shot at my guy, Brian Hoyer. Why don't you crap on Kirk Cousins, too, while we're at it?
I mean, I'm fine with Kirk Cousins being the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings as long as they want to leave him there. That's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good enough at 3 for 3?
Yeah, sure.
Good. All right.
Well, you want to rip on Santa Claus? Go for it.
What do you think of Marcus Mariota and this new shot with Atlanta? What do we think this looks like? It's a 2-year deal, and when you dig into it, it's really basically a 1-year deal with an out after the deal. And you know, if he plays well, maybe he can stick around there in Atlanta. But they're probably looking for their quarterback of the future down there. What do you make of this opportunity for Marcus Mariota with the Falcons now that Matt Ryan is out?
It's more than I thought he'd get again in this league. So, you know, look, the city of Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons fan right now is not pumped up about Marcus Mariota. And I don't think they should be. I'm not saying they should be. But if you're him, you had to be looking at this and saying, will I ever be anything more than like a good backup somewhere with, you know, a chance here and there to make a spot start? Well, here you go. I'm sure he'd feel better if he had Calvin Ridley on the other end of his passes. But he's got a great young tight end, and he's got a guy who he knows well, who's really good at designing offense. And that's why Arthur Smith got the opportunity to coach the Falcons. I mean, Dean Pease, that's another guy, you know. So, like, there's familiarity with these people, some of these people, and it's as good as you could possibly hope for if you're Mariota. And if he can just get them to be okay, you know, I mean, look, Mariota's time here was very much played at the end by injury. There's no doubt about that, right? So maybe all this time away from taking all the hits for the most part on the field will leave him just healthier and better. And there's really, I mean, there's not that much pressure on him. I mean, yeah, there's pressure to try to keep that job, but most people expect him to be a bridge QB for a year tops, and we don't know if they're going to draft one. So go out and let it rip, man. You know, this is, I say, Mariota, you say, Arthur, let's do QB run stuff all the time, man. I'm going to be Lamar Jackson in Atlanta.
The big thing with him is, like, I just hope he can stay healthy. Like, that's going to be the big test. I mean, he got hurt last year in a backup quarterback role. I mean, I just hope he stays healthy in what they're doing, because if he stays healthy, like, I would like to see what he can do for an extended period of time when healthy in today's NFL. I don't know. Like, I look at the offense right now. I mean, he's got Kyle Pitts to throw the ball to, and I guess Cordarrelle Patterson, you can do whatever you want to with him, running back, wide receiver, whatever, but not a whole lot there that makes me think Marcus Mariota is going to be overly successful with the Falcons. Now, maybe, I mean, Arthur Smith, he's obviously familiar with him. Maybe he can tailor make a game plan for him, and Arthur Smith continues to be a guru down there. But I just look at that offense personnel-wise, and it's not great what Marcus has to work with down there.
Run him 12 to 15 times a game, just Oregon Ducks 2014. Make it happen, man. You know what? If he's getting hurt, avoiding running as he was here, you know what? Utilize, I mean, the Raiders turn him into, you know, a trick play gadget guy. Just use his best assets. Why the heck not?
Yeah. I got a texter that says, who's in charge of getting player interviews? Get AJ on the show. Get after him, Rex. Let's go get AJ Brown on the show.
Yeah. We'll see if we can get him next segment. We'll let you know. AJ, regarding your tweet.
Joe, just FaceTime him real quick, okay?
Tell me about your leadership skills and Ryan Tannehill's. How do they mesh together? Why do you hate Tannehill's leadership style?
So do you hope that Tannehill gets cut midway through the season, or are you okay finishing the 2022 season with him?
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll look ahead at the Preds tonight against LA, get into the Philip Forsberg situation as well. He's still here. How much pressure is now on David Poile? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, we started apart and are still apart.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley here with Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big win for the Preds last night. They win 6-3 against Anaheim. They'll be back at it tonight against L.A. Puck drop 9:30, pregame 8:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 5 points for Philip Forsberg last night. 2 goals and 3 assists. Obviously, Joe, that means that he was still a member of the team after the trade deadline yesterday. The Predators do not trade Philip Forsberg. Yes, I'm here for great analysis like that. Predators don't trade Philip Forsberg. He has not been signed to an extension either. So what do you make of the spot they're in now with Forsberg? Obviously, he is playing incredible hockey. They're coming down the stretch. David Poile seems to be confident that they're close to signing, or at least somewhat in the ballpark of being able to sign a deal with Philip Forsberg at some point down the stretch here before free agency. What do you make of this spot that they're in, and how much pressure is on David Poile in your mind to make sure that this gets done now that the trade deadline has come and gone?
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, of course, to get this done. And I do think that the clock is still, I mean, it's ticking loudly because – I just, you know, if this is like one of those things where it's like, you know what, let's just go apart for a week and just come back to it. I think there's urgency to get this done and just make this a non-story. I mean, Poile said, we're going to quietly work on this, which to me is like, please, everybody stop talking about it. Don't ask Phil about it. Don't ask me about it. Don't ask each other about it. Don't text about it. Don't tweet about it. Don't TikTok about it. It's not going to happen, man. It's not going to work. And it's going to get louder. And I do think that I still believe they're going to get it done. If I'm forced to bet on this, I would bet on the Preds and Forsberg coming to an agreement. But I think at some point, if it goes way deep and now where it's about playoff time and it's still a thing, I don't think that's great for the Preds to still have this hanging out there. I don't think it's great for Forsberg. Maybe he's having this amazing season because it's been hanging out there all year. I guess, you know, you could argue anything on that, but I think it's a really good idea to, now that the trade deadline is over. Okay. If that was actually leverage for Poile,
which I don't think it was, by the way,
I don't think it was a ton, but it's over. So here it is. He's either signing or he's walking away. Okay, both sides get it. Both sides know the stakes. Meet somewhere on whatever you're missing and get it done.
Michael on the text line says, when Poile says they're apart, do you think this is within $1 million difference, or is Forsberg asking for more than $10 million a season? That's coming from Michael on the text line. I don't know. I don't know exactly what Forsberg is asking for. You know, with each passing game, as I'm his agent, I'm probably asking for a little bit more based on the way that he's playing right now. You know, I've thrown out a number, 8 for 8.5. So 8 years, $8.5 million per year. Like, I think that's a reasonable contract. Like, there's some that think he can go out in the open market and make like $10.5 million. There's some, you talked about the spot rack that Vingan talked, or was it Vingan or Doherty? I can't remember which one.
Vingan.
It's Vingan threw out there that says he's playing like an $11 million player right now. Does that mean he's going to sign an $11 million contract per year? No, but the production is there this year. I don't know exactly what Forsberg and his agency are asking for. I mean, obviously, it's a number that Poile is not yet comfortable going to. With each passing game, and now that you're closer to free agency and there's no trade deadline, My guess is he gets closer to that number. He's more comfortable getting there at some point. Like, somebody's going to have to give. Either Forsberg's side's going to have to give, or Poyle's side's going to have to give, or maybe a combination of the two, depending on how far apart they are. But somebody's going to have to give pretty quickly.
Like, I just can't imagine that this could possibly be more than like 9 flat over 8 years. Again, the 8-year term is important. It's an advantage. If you were David Poyle, would you give him 10 over 8, but zero, no movement at all? Like, you could, you know, full ability to move the deal?
I mean, probably not, because when you start
– you thought about it. You paused.
Well, when you start to get into $10 million a year, if you're to the point where you want to trade him, like, nobody's taking the $10 million contract, right? Yeah. Like, if he's bad enough to where you want to trade him, nobody's taking a $10 million cap hit for Philip Forsberg.
That's its own no movement clause.
Yeah.
The number. Yeah.
So
I think what you've put out there is exactly what it should be. You could argue it's more than, you know, some might pay him and some will argue it's less. So that's good. 8 for 8.5.
Henry on the text line says at this point, they're going to pretty much have to give him what he wants in order to keep him, right? I think everybody's freaking out because the deadline's now come and gone, and they think that all of a sudden Philip Forsberg's just got like this evil grin on his face. And he's like, ha, I got him. Now they're going to have to give me whatever I want. Like, it's still a negotiation. I think there's been progress that's been made. If there wasn't, like, I don't know that David Poyle's holding on to it. Like, as good as he's played this year, like, if you're honest with yourself, if you're David Poyle and you think that there's a pretty good chance you're not re-signing him, like, are you still hanging on to him regardless of how he's played this year? Maybe. Like, maybe he would have. I don't know. But to me, I walked away from the Poyle press conference yesterday thinking to myself, he seems to be relatively confident that they can get a deal done. Now, again, that may be false confidence. I don't know. But it seems like both sides have at least displayed a willingness to each other to try to get a deal done.
I agree. Now, if the suitor thing had never happened, then maybe it would also be different. The conversation around it would be different. But it did happen. It was 10 years ago, but it did happen. And he addressed that directly. And without having my own knowledge, you know, you were there for that stuff. It seems a lot different.
It is.
Doesn't guarantee that it's going to happen or get done. But it seems a lot different.
Let's quickly go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Lee from Nashville. Lee, what's going on? Thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, hey, guys. I was just thinking, if I was Forsberg, he's had some good years, but arguably this is his best year ever, and it's under Hines in a system where he's been a tougher player, he's forechecked more. He's in a system where he's actually thrived a lot more than previous years. I wonder if he's traded somewhere else, he could never do what he's doing now. Of course, if he gets all that money, he probably doesn't care. But I would think if I was him, if I'm going to score 40 goals or more, I'd want to stay in the same system I'm in and sacrifice a little money rather than going to a place where I have no idea how many goals I'm going to score. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. Thanks for the call. I mean, I don't know how, if you're Forsberg, this system and the way that this team is gelling right now, I don't know how that couldn't be attractive to you with the way that you're playing. You know, could he make more money per year on the open market? Maybe. But again, Joe, that's where the eighth year comes into play. Like, it's going to be pretty difficult for another team to outbid the Predators that way. So I think if you're Forsberg, it's hard to be more impressed, I think, with the way this season has gone from a system standpoint, from an offensive standpoint with you and Duchesne, all those things combined. Like, I don't know how you couldn't feel pretty good about Hines and this system this year.
Agree. And the chemistry with Duchesne and all that. Again, if a team out there wants to give him 10 over 7, which I have my questions about, I have my doubts that that would actually happen. But
me too.
Let's say you're Forsberg or JP Barry, say, nah, we can get a team, give us, we can get, have a team to give us $10 million over 7 years. Okay. Well, if your contract, Robbie, was offered 8 over 8.5, that's almost the exact same number because it is guaranteed. You're going to get that money. And also, let's also remember the state income tax, you know, compared to where that team might be. So your bottom line, even if a team gives you that, which I question, you still are going to end up with more money in your pocket.
Yep.
In that scenario.
It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, we'll spend a lot of time in the next few weeks and months about Philip Forsberg. That's going to do it for us here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick can chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.